hybrid connection structures is the one that can give us most of the benefits. So we need to combine the best features of all materials and put it together.
Offshore wind energy has gone through tremendous developments in recent years. Innovation was a key driver for its success. If offshore wind wants to make a lasting contribution to the energy transition, the sector must continue to innovate. I am David De Jager of GROW, a consortium with a joint research program in offshore wind. In this podcast series, I want to give you an impression of the key research and innovations that will shape the future of offshore wind. Today I'm visiting Marco Pavlovic, who is an assistant professor at the Technical University Delft, and Maxim Zegre, who is a managing director of Tree Composites at the laboratory of the TU Delft, the Stevin Laboratory. And we are going to talk about an innovation that might reduce the production cost of offshore support structures with 25 to 50%. Hi Marco.
Hi David.
We are standing here in the Stevin Lab and we are looking to a kind of art piece, which is a wrapped composite joint. And we are going to discuss that today, because you are the man behind this innovation. But let's move a little bit, zoom out a little bit. What is, let's say, the context that you want to have this wrapped composite joint, which in my words is getting tubes together with a kind of gaffer tape in a sophisticated way. But where would this innovation in the end be used?
Well, we intended to end up in structures that are mainly loaded to cyclic loading, and a very important example of that are offshore wind turbine supporting structures. Usually nowadays those supports that go into the seabed are built with monopiles, and with increasing trend of increased energy production needs. The turbines are getting bigger. And the loads are getting bigger, and we need to go to deeper waters, and those monopiles might not be sufficient for that. So that's why what is called the jacket structure that utilizes these kind of joints can have a benefit, because it can support more loads in a smaller diameters of tubes that need to be used.
And jackets, help me a little bit. What do they look like?
A bit of like a lattice tower that you see aside the road for electricity. So it's a multi-member structure that uses many members connected together in a sort of truss. It's a spatial truss that supports load from the top to the bottom in an optimized manner. So you put members where they're needed in an optimal way, as nature does it with the tree, to connect load to the foundation.
Yeah. And normally those, the advantage of a jacket is that it's lighter, you need less steel, but it also takes a lot of time to manufacture. It's easier or faster to make a monopile than a jacket. And you have a lot of joints in such a jacket, and they are now welded, if I'm not mistaken. And that is where we come to your innovation.
Yeah.
You have an alternative for these welds, and that's the wrapped composite joint. What is a wrapped composite joint?
Well, wrapped composite joint is an alternative to welding, which, as you mentioned, is for decades been any only way to connect two steel tubes together other than using bolts. So another type of making a connection is by bonding, and we do use it in real life very often, but not in a large scale structure. So that's where the idea came up. Let's try to use some material that can connect in an optimal shape and manner two tubes made of steel to provide sufficient bonding interface and surface that we can bond it together. And for that we use composite material just wrapped around it as you would do it, as you say, with a duct tape if you want to connect some tubes in your garden. But we do it in a more sophisticated manner, looking into stress concentrations, how much area do we need, what are the bonding properties, and so on. So the main advantage actually is the large fatigue resistance. So airplanes and wind blades are made of composite material because it is fatigue resistance, and that's why we chose this material to connect two steel tubes instead of using welds that get embrittled and they have stress concentration, so that's where cracking if you constantly repeat the load.
And you're talking about fatigue. If I'm thinking of a huge wind turbine on a huge support structure, I would say that's so much mass that's not moving, so there will not be fatigue. But there I'm fully mistaken, I understand.
Yeah, the fatigue, actually the dynamic and the cyclic load comes from wind, because wind is stochastic loading. It blows, it doesn't blow, it always goes in cycles, and also the waves. and dominant loading on these supporting structures are cyclic loads. So that's why those jackets so far have been suboptimal compared to monopiles, because they suffer from this fatigue loading in those particular details where the tubes are welded together. We try to solve that main detail.
Here with us is also Maxime. Maxime Zegeren, you are a director of a startup called Tree Composites. I'm going to ask particularly Marco a little bit later about why Tree, but first to you, what do you expect from this technology? Clearly you want to make a commercial product of this, so what would be the ultimate benefits of this innovation?
Well, actually we would like to become the new standard of joining multi-membered joints. So instead of welding, which has all these negative effects on have to add material, we would like to really provide a full joint as a building block in jackets. So that's what we aim to. And why? Because we can significantly reduce the amount of material that you need to produce renewable power. So for example, with monopiles, we're now talking about piles of 3,000 tons. And with a jacket, we are talking about 500, 600, 700 tons. So that's a significant amount of base material that you need in order to produce the same amount of energy. So if you look at the world, let's say resources, it would be better to produce power with the least amount of materials.
And so, well, significant weight reduction.
Yeah.
And that also translates in probably lower costs. You don't need to buy steel. What jackets are already less expensive than monopiles, or?
No.
No.
They are not. No. And that's because all of these joints require a huge amount of manpower to weld them. And so what we aim is to also impact the whole production chain. So we, with Tree Composites, we design and build then the joints, and they are transferred to a production facility such as Smulders, for example. And there they use the joints and then assemble the whole thing. And what is the benefit is that we can double or even triple the amount of jackets built per year.
Marco, like I said, you were kind of the man behind this innovation. How did you came across this idea?
The idea actually came from nature. Some 10 years ago, my kids were still small, and I was walking with them a lot in Belgrade, in Serbia. There is a park with a huge platan tree. What I noticed during decades, people have supported the long branches of the tree, 20, 30 meters long, with steel columns. And the amazing thing happened during the years, the tree grew around these steel columns and created a kind of natural junction between the tree branch and the steel tube, so something natural and something human, and it also did it in an optimal shape. So such when you look in the connection between the branch and the stem of a tree, you will see that it's all smooth and all the stresses are transferred in a nice manner. And tree is actually made of fibers, natural fibers. And then I thought we can use artificial fibers like glass fibers that we use here to create similar connection between steel tubes itself. And we can try to upscale it to structures with the size of a jacket.
And that's a few years back you started doing the first tests, I can imagine.
We started first tests about 3-4 years ago when we wanted to try this idea. We made first specimens, we tested here in the Stevin lab, and we saw amazing results. So I came to my student and said, okay, next time this year we'll be millionaires like in the Fools and Horses. But it takes more than 1 year, of course. We saw that for static performance, they had the same force resisting as welded joints, so that was a check mark. But we saw an excellent fatigue life extension of even 10 to 100 times more cycles to failure than as it was for the reference welded joint of the same size.
Okay, so they outperform the conventional welding process.
I'm standing in a big frame, 5 meters high. We see a joint, and this is a rather simple one, I would say, because you are also aiming at more complex joints within in multiple directions. So I see it's 2 meters long, I guess.
Yeah, the joint itself is about 2 meters long. We need a bit longer specimen to connect it to the testing frame. And one fun fact is what we're always facing in these experiments is that the steel that we use to connect the joint to the testing setup is failing in cycles of load before the joint even starts to degrade. So a similar situation we have here now, we have to repair steel details, to drill some holes, to stop cracks in steel so that we can continue testing the composite material itself. And indeed, in the following period, during the RepNode project, we will test more complex joints as these, where four members meet at one bigger tube together, and it will be tested in different load directions as well.
But this X-formed shape, that's maybe the best way to describe it, is now being tested. So what are we looking at? And can you explain what the dots mean and what the purpose of all these dots is?
Yeah, it's not a fashion. Actually, we use it for a technology to record strains on the surface of the specimen that we are testing. So in every cycle of loading that we are applying here, every second we apply the load of equivalence of 30 tons. To simulate cyclic loading in a jacket structures that comes from wind. We use these dots to record with stereo cameras with blue lines that you can see around it, and computer imaging and correlation, and we form a 3D image of strains on the surface of the specimen. So we no longer have to glue so many strain gauges around it. It speeds up the process of testing tremendously, but it also offers a huge amount of data that we can later on analyze and see where is the crack initiating and how it progresses.
Yeah, I see also the cameras that are and the lights that are highlighting it. So you are building up pressure on this vertical axis and releasing, basically you are pulling and pushing. And for how many times are you going to do that?
Well, this is one fifth specimen that we are testing now. Each specimen before this one has been tested 2 million cycles.
2 million, okay.
So one test takes about 3 weeks. So we use summer period to do this, and that is our goal that we set. If it survives 2 million cycles, that would already greatly surpass the fatigue life of the steel tube that it would connect, and they all do. The reason why we're doing this test this big now is actually we did a similar test which was 4 times smaller, and that's what we are aiming for, to look into size effects. If we test at two different scales, and if we build mathematical and numerical models about how those perform, we want to calibrate those models to be able to predict how the full-scale joints will behave as well.
A full-scale joint will be larger than this one?
Yeah, it will be 4 times larger than this one.
Okay. So what are the next steps that you are thinking of doing within the current research?
Well, within the current research and the project that we are now starting, is that there we have two objectives, two main aims, is to show that these joints will really work in full scale by doing experiments at full scale and predicting the outcome of these experiments as well. That it will also happen that with the multi-axial loading that we have to apply to these joints, not only tension but including the bending, that its performance at full scale will be also outperforming as we want it.
Basically, and simulating the forces that you can experience in a wind turbine.
In a wind turbine and jacket, indeed. And also, offshore environment is pretty harsh, exposed to a lot of water, temperature differences. That's also what we're going to test in this following period of 2 years.
You are working at the Technical University at Delft here.
Yeah.
Tree Composites is involved because you want to make a commercial project of it. What other parties are involved in this project, in this research?
We have a great consortium. So we are now currently in the phase of designing the full jacket such that we can design the joints together with ANRC, which is an engineering company. Has experience with jacket designs, and also together with Siemens Gamesa Renewable Energy.
That's a manufacturer of wind turbines.
Yeah, but also they have a foundation package team, and there we get the turbine loads as they would be in a commercial project, such that we can really have a design which is reflected, let's say, reality for the biggest turbine that they are now currently producing, so the 14 megawatt. Then we have two constructors in the in a consortium which is HSM Offshore, which is located in Schiedam, who builds also jacket structures for offshore oil and gas, but also the high voltage stations. They also have produced jackets there. And Smulders, which is one of the leading manufacturers of jackets in Europe. And especially with Smulders, we are working closely on the impact on the, let's say, mass production of jackets.
I have some personal questions to you. I'm always intrigued, like, okay, what does it take in terms of education or background to get where you are now? So maybe, Maxime, you are currently also working at the Technical University, but still, indeed, in parallel, have set up this startup. But what did you do to get here?
So I did my studies at the Technical University of Delft. I did my master's in offshore engineering and by chance also in jackets and more or less the effect of torsion on jacket structures for offshore wind turbines. After that, I did my PhD as well in the offshore wind connections, but then more focused on a monopile connection called the slip joint, which you probably know.
I do.
So I did a lot of tests in this lab as well. And afterwards, I more or less became the link between our researchers and at TU Delft then, and the industry partners.
Yeah. And Marco, what is your background?
I did my studies of structural engineering in Belgrade, Serbia, and as well PhD. I've also did a lot of design and consultancy for steel structures in past during my PhD studies, and my PhD was related also to kind of composite joint, but it was connection between steel and concrete at that time for bridges. I designed a lot of bridges and buildings and towers and wind turbine towers as well. So I gained touch to engineering problems from engineering perspective, and not only from scientific but also from engineering perspective. And I think that's what helped me most to be more open into looking for problems and then trying to find solutions for them, other than first trying to find a solution and then try to look for problem that it can solve. Hybrids, connections, structures is the one that can give us most of the benefits. So we need to combine the best features of all materials and put it together.
We were at TNO and we spoke with Joke Luiten, and she has a question to you.
What is the sensitivity of the wrapped composite joint to corrosion?
A nice question, because it actually encompasses two materials, steel and composite. Steel is the one that corrodes, that rusts actually, and composite is very resistant to it doesn't rust, it does have its own corrosion in terms of degradation of the material, of the resin, by presence of water, UV light and temperature, but these are measured in percents, while for steel, if you let it rust, then it will lose millimeters of materials during years and it goes away. The main possible sensitivity of these kinds of joints is if we have the water going through the composite material and entering the surface where the connection is made by bonding between steel and composite. We actually want to learn what happens when this surface rusts.
By the way, Marco, I see this orange structure. What is that?
Well, that's what is known as a beast of Delft. Actually, it's a hexapod. It's a test setup where we can load specimens of different kind in different directions at the same time. What we were looking previously was the test setup where we apply axial loading, but in this setup we can apply simultaneously axial loading by moving this head upwards, but also rotating it and twisting it so that we apply simultaneously other bending loads, twists, all together, to better simulate the real life situations in structures where all the loads do act together at the same time.
And this machine will hence be used in the current project.
Indeed, this machine will be used in our current project to load the specimens with the different loading together.
The big ones of 2 meter?
Yeah,
or
the big ones. Ones.
And that will then be in between?
In between the head at the top and the bottom, the head will rise and up through these hydraulic jacks, and we will fit a similar specimen that you see here, but with a straight angle, not with 45 degrees. And then we will pull it, twist it, turn it, and try to break it.
Yeah. And you expect that the steel breaks first and the composite will...
We hope not. We will actually over-design steel not to break. That's what we've been doing also all the time, but we always have still the problem of steel failing. So our aim is to overdesign steel not to fail, that we can actually see the failure of the composite and the bonded interface, such that it provides us information for modeling it and predicting it in the future.
And the wrapping, is that also, does it also require a particular technique? I would, you know, if I would be at the scouting, I would do my best, but it would be just, well, rather intuitive wrapping. Is there also science behind wrapping?
There is science, but it's not rocket science. It's a regularly used technique that is used for pipelines, for example, to connect pipelines together. But we put it to another level. We use it for structural purpose. We also optimize the way how the mats are put together and combined. And the main point is about quality control, which resin you use, which temperatures are during the wrapping process, how do you do the inspection.
Oh, Marco, we are now in front of a kind of test equipment. It looks like an oven with a small plate in it. What I'm looking at?
Here we do a first bit of test for the RepNode project, where we try to optimize the material that we use. These are material tests where a small piece of composite material is made and cut into a shape that can be teared apart, as if you would be tearing a paper. We want to know what is the force that is needed to break it.
So there's this this piece of composites. It has a, how you call that? A sleuve?
What is
a
sleuve? Notch.
A knot in it. It has a knot in it. So we're looking at a piece of composite with a knot in it, and you are pulling it off and waiting when it cracks.
Yeah, indeed. So we are pulling two sides of this specimen. We try to look at what is the peak force at which it will start tearing up. We also want to see in which rate it will tear. That gives us what is called fracture energy, and that helps us to predict at which load, if we upscale it to the scale of the joint will fail.
Yeah. And this knowledge on the material behavior of these composites, that's new? That's not already researched in before?
This particular test is not new. It's very well known standard test to test the fracture energy of a composite material. But the material that we are using is new. Composites are, in that respect, very different to steel. For example, you have a couple of types of steels, and then the material properties would already be supplied by the supplier of the material. When you're making a composite, you're actually making it yourself. It's a tailorable material. Its material properties can vary with a magnitude of 10, depending on which fibers you use, either carbon or glass or which resin you use. So for each new composition of the material, you have to do a series of tests to learn about its properties.
Yeah, the gap is now widening.
It is. Now we have reached the maximum load already. So that means that the crack is now starting to progress from the tip towards the end.
Yeah. For people listening to the podcast, we have the Grow to Go magazine, where we will show you some of the pictures so that you understand that what we are looking at. And we are now basically waiting for a crack.
Oh, like the crack, hot summer day.
And the crack is now propagating really far already.
Yes, it is almost fully engaged now. So at this moment, we actually stopped the test.
Yeah. But for us, you proceed.
Well, we can break it a bit more.
Yeah.
That's it.
It will not break. Marco, Maxime, thank you very much for having me here today and explaining about RepNode. I wish you a lot of success with the further development and the commercialization. What I've learned is that with this innovation, jackets may be constructed at significantly lower cost and even become a competitive alternative for monopiles. And I trust that you, are very confident that it will happen. The research presented in this podcast series is supported by TKI Wind op Zee and the Netherlands Enterprise Agency. Would you like to learn more about this research? Check out the show notes, where you'll find a reference to the Grow to Go web magazine. The next episode will address how to deal with the damaging effect of rain droplets on rotor blades.